Good evening. I'm Arthur Gary, substituting for Roger Bowman with the 6:30 New York special.
And I'm Joseph Michaels with on-the-spot reports about a follow-up on a murder investigation. Burglars put the bite on a dental firm. And residents of our highest area have ruffled feathers.
Right now, it's 83 degrees in New York, and here's tonight's top story. Police continue to work around the clock seeking clues to the murder of a Greenwich Village widow. Here's Joseph Michaels with that story.
Police have been working 24 hours a day on the murder of 82-year-old widow Mrs. Martha West and have some thoughts as to why her assailant went to this extreme when she apparently interrupted him in the act of burgling her 2 Fifth Avenue apartment. This reporter, together with NBC's Gabe Pressman, talked today to Assistant Chief Walter Denning about what the police have been concentrating on in this phase of the investigation.
We're surveying the neighborhood with the photograph of the woman to try and recheck her movements. We're going over anybody who makes deliveries of any kind into the building. All of the employees of the apartment are being sifted, and we're trying to establish a routine for her and for the building. We also are resurveying any open burglaries we have to see if we have any information on who was doing them, to see if we'll bring those people in. And in general, it's just a check case out there talking to people and surveying people.
People who make deliveries like whom?
People like she had a rug cleaned, and the 29th, they were telephone books delivered there. We've already cleared that situation up. But valets and things of that nature.
Any closer idea, any new hypothesis on why he killed her, why he reacted so violently when he was interrupted?
I don't have any facts to draw any logical conclusion, but I do think that it seems to me that he was definitely decided that he didn't want her alive to identify him. I think that it's possibly somebody that she would know again if she had survived.
How many men does it take in an operation of this scope with all of this checking?
Well, it takes about 25 for an 8-hour day, and then 25 that'll go on tonight. And then in the early morning hours, it takes another 12 to 14 fellas just sifting out stuff and getting set for another situation. About 75 people before you finish the day's work.
Clues are in admittedly short supply, and there are at this time no suspects, according to Chief Denning. It is for this reason that a special number has been set up for anyone who believes he or she may have useful information to contribute to the police. That number is Chelsea 34254.
City Controller Abraham Beam had good news today for city employees and taxpayers. Beam reports that the city pension fund is out of the red for the first time in its 25-year history. Beam says the deficit has been wiped out and that 147,000 city employees can now look forward to increased retirement benefits. The controller explained that the policy, before he took over, was to invest pension funds in low-interest rate city bonds, which never paid off enough to match the outlays for pensions. 2 years ago, Beam changed all that and began putting pension money into secured mortgages and stocks. Net result? Money saved for city taxpayers, bigger pensions for city employees. Jersey City is looking for a new official greeter. Until last night, the man who held that job was Arthur Heenan. He got up at the Eastern Conference Teamster meeting and presented Teamster boss Jimmy Hoffa with a key to the city. The city fathers didn't mind that. It was what Heenan said that bothered them. "Let me say," Heenan shouted, "that the initials J.R.H., James R. Hoffa, are better than those of F. That is R.F.K., Robert F. Kennedy. A.H., Arthur Heenan, is now out of a job. A burglary in a Brooklyn dental firm. Here are the details.
Theft apparently comes in many guises in this big city, and crooks revealed a pretty unexpected one last night when they broke the lock on the New Life Dental Laboratory's double door in Brooklyn, entered the premises, and made an unusual haul. Brooklyn sales manager Mark Marenbach describes the robbery.
Well, these thieves broke into our place somewhere between the hours of 12 midnight and 6 a.m., and they looted the place pretty thoroughly.
How much did they get in the way of money?
Well, in the way of money, nothing. In the way of materials and in the way of our work, a considerable amount.
You mean they stole false teeth, bridges?
Yes, well, a lot of our bridge work is done in gold, and they got approximately 50 large gold bridges, and they got about 1,400 individual teeth from us, plus quite a bit of gold that hadn't been worked as yet.
What would they possibly want with these individual teeth?
Well, these individual teeth on the market are worth about $7 for each set of 14, and they have quite a marketable, they can be remarketed very well, because any dental laboratory who buys from a carpet bagger, such as some of the small laboratories might, they can do very well with them.
You mean there is a market for stolen false teeth and bridges?
Well, I've heard there is, even though I've never been exposed to it.
Well, what do you do about this kind of thing? I mean, are you insured for it, or do you have to make them all up again? What happened?
Well, we have to remake all of these bridges, which causes considerable inconvenience to both the dentist and us. The dentist, in many cases, will have to retake impressions, and we'll have to make new models and redo his teeth. Now, this is what we're doing now is the culmination of a season's work for the dentist and ourselves. And to remake all of this stuff very quickly is going to be a considerable amount of labor, plus the men are going to probably have to stay over the complete 4th of July weekend, which they previously had off.
Well, if you can, by this means, reach those people who performed this stuff, what would you say to them?
We would say, please bring those teeth back. They're worth a lot more to us than they are to you.
And what are they worth to New Life? The owner says if the teeth and bridges are returned in their original condition, he's prepared to pay a ransom of $5,000. Well, we've heard of lots of things, but false teeth, black marketeers, and tooth snapping, well, what are we all coming to?
If the President of the United States is limited to two terms in office, why shouldn't the mayor of New York City be? That's the question posed today by City Councilman Joseph Modugno, a Queens Republican. He has pre-filed a bill that would limit the term in office to two terms and fix the salary at $50,000. Modugno concedes that his measure is aimed at preventing Mayor Wagner from seeking a fourth term. The mayor has indicated he may do just that. The bill will be taken up at the next council meeting Tuesday. It'll go to the Committee on City Affairs and probably stay there. From WNBC's Traffic Central, we continue our round-the-clock coverage of traffic conditions in and around the metropolitan area. A summary now of road conditions on the New York State Thruway, the Taconic State Parkway, Westchester Sawmill River Parkway, the Bronx River Parkway, the Hutchinson River Parkway, where traffic is moderate to heavy but moving. On the Cross County Parkway and the Triborough Bridge, traffic is heavy with some delays on the Triborough Bridge leading into the Bronx. And now on the Northern State Parkway, the Southern State Parkway, and the Grand Central Parkway, medium to heavy eastbound, medium westbound. It's moderate to heavy traffic with no delays on the Southern State Parkway, and on the Grand Central Parkway, traffic is moving well in both directions with no delays. There are moderate to heavy traffic with no delays on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, which of course includes the Gowanus Parkway, the Prospect Expressway, and the Shore Parkway. The Lincoln Tunnel traffic is heavy eastbound with delays. Moderate to heavy with no delays on the George Washington Bridge. Traffic in the Holland Tunnel is heavy with delays in both directions. Traffic is moderate to heavy on route number 3, 19, and route number 46 in New Jersey. Traffic on the Skyway and route number 9 is heavy with no major delays. Traffic in Connecticut on the Merrick Parkway, the Connecticut Turnpike, and route number 7 is medium to heavy both ways with no tie-ups. That's the up-to-the-minute traffic report. Stay tuned to 660 for the next report from WNBC's Traffic Central. Residents of the biggest building on Earth claim that their structure is also the hottest. Here's that story.
It is, you'll agree, hot just about everywhere, but tenants in the upper reaches of the Empire State Building were complaining bitterly that it was hot where it wasn't supposed to be, as far as they're concerned. Today they held a meeting and launched countermeasures. Here are the difficulties as described by Attorney Broda.
Mr. Broda, what's the problem here?
Well, the problem is that we've been without air conditioning in the Empire State Building since last Thursday. And we have approximately 500 tenants or so from the 40th to the 82nd floor who are suffocating in this unbearable 99-degree heat. We've been given no promises by the building except that they're going to try to have a little air for us and by next Thursday. Not air conditioning. They said they'd like to have some air for us. We don't quite understand what that means. Perhaps they plan on coming up here and breaking through the window so that we could get some fresh air. But the problem here, essentially, is that there's been a wholesale neglect by this building to really provide for such an eventuality, the breakdown of the one air conditioning unit that provides for these floors. And they seem to need a part, and as a result of the unavailability of this part, we've been doing without any air conditioning now for 5 days.
Speaking for the Empire State Management, Mr. Dale Olmsted says Mr. Aaron Broda and the others appear to be somewhat misinformed. It is true that the air conditioning has, in the upper part of the building, been off for the past 6 days. This was due to an accident involving a short circuit. Special parts have been fabricated on a night and day work schedule at a plant in Ohio and are now on their way to New York City. Electricians for the Empire State Building will, Mr. Olmsted says, be working around the clock over the July 4th weekend to make sure that everything gets in. And what's more, some tenants have thanked the big building for its fine service and have informed them by letter and also in person that they will have nothing to do with any protest move. Anyway, so far as upper story tenants of the Empire State Building are concerned, you'll be able to cool off soon, or at least you will after the July 4th weekend is over.
Road repair crews scurried around Queens today, patching up several major arteries that popped like balloons yesterday under the heat wave. Highway Commissioner John Carroll ordered crews from Manhattan and the Bronx to help out with the Queens repair work. Carroll said the asphalt would bulge out, then pop under the weight of passing cars and trucks, just like the firecrackers you'll be hearing Saturday. The worst cracks were on parts of the Long Island Expressway, the Van Wyck Expressway, and the North Conduit Boulevard. Coney Island has become a good place to visit if you don't like crowds. That's right, Coney Island. And that's the word from the men who ought to know, the concessionaires. These fun vendors report the worst season in 30 years. Many reasons are given for the drop in business: fear of violence on the subways, teenage hoodlums, bad weather, inadequate parking, and competition from the World's Fair. 6 New York City policemen today made their second appearance before one of the 3 grand juries investigating gambling payoffs to the police. The 6 men who appeared today are among the estimated 40 who have signed waivers of immunity and willingly testified. 10 others, including one police lieutenant, refused to sign the waivers and were dismissed. Also in connection with the probe, a retired plainclothes man, 55-year-old William Youngkin of Astoria, Queens, is being held as a material witness. Youngkin's bail was set at $25,000, high enough to make sure he stays in jail. The district attorney's office said it feared for Youngkin's safety if he remained free. Senator Kenneth Keating has announced that the government has awarded contracts to Syracuse and New York universities to train volunteers for the Peace Corps. Syracuse will train 160 volunteers for work in Tanganyika, and NYU will handle 50 volunteers to be assigned to Brazil. Sure Shot Chester Gray wants to be out of jail. Sure Shot, that's the nickname for Chester Sikorsky, who claims that he is a paid FBI informer. A lawyer for Sure Shot today filed a petition in federal court seeking his release from the House of Detention, where he's serving a 1-year term on his conviction in a stock fraud case. Sure Shot says that his role with the FBI was so secret that he couldn't even bring out information that would have helped him at his own trial. Where did he get that nickname? Well, according to Chester, a hoodlum learned of his role as an informer and came to his hotel room to kill him. But Chester was quicker on the draw and killed the man with one bullet. After that, Chester Sikorsky became Sure Shot Chester Gray. At least, that's the way Sure Shot tells it. Now the weather for the metropolitan area. Cloudy with a chance of showers this evening. Low tonight in the low 70s. Tomorrow cloudy, scattered showers, high in the 80s. Fair and not as warm as tonight. Right now it's 83 degrees and cloudy in midtown Manhattan. This has been the New York News Special. 15 minutes of the top metropolitan area news with on-the-spot reports from Joseph Michaels. Stay tuned now for 3-Star Extra.
This is Joseph Michaels.
And this is Arthur Gary. Good night.